let's say, 15%, like.
And it tastes really sweet.
We always hold the over, right?
Really sweet.
Okay? Mm-hmm. 85% don't like it.
And what I did, without looking at the label, what was on it, I opened
what about
the new one, poured it over ice, and drank it.
What about Pepsi?
Then I read the label, then I knew why there was a difference.
85% start screaming.
It's just like Pepsi, because then later on I tried the Pepsi.
85% start screaming.
And it was the same. The
the two no boats there.
Like watered down Pepsi, which is a good thing.
All right, fine. All right.
I just don't like it.
Fine.
Guess what?
They've lied to
me. And I poured.
Guess what?
And I poured.
Some critics will say Coca-Cola has made a marketing mistake.
All right, fine.
Guess what?
Bring back the gold coat.
They're bringing back coat.
Two coats. Two coats. Pepsi fight. Two coats. Two coats.
She said, guess what? They're bringing back Coke and they're going to call Coca-Cola Classic. That's all she called them.
A plan. Supposing it was all a plan.
What about Pepsi?
The Coke plan.
And Pepsi says,
for $1.25 million last year, Mike Tyson was willing to say,
hey, Diet Pepsi the champion too.
Pepsi says,
two Coke.
Pepsi says it isn't too worried.
Two Coke.
Coke investors apparently aren't either.
So New York is
Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola's stock jumped over 2 points on Wall Street during the day.
Hey, I said, a better, more modern taste than
genius marketing.
What's happening here is that there's a taste segmentation of the sugar cola market.
A taste segmentation? Pardon me, but I speak English.
Coca-Cola tonight got 4 minutes on every nation.
From cynics.
No money.
Say.
Didn't cost them any money. Yeah. Big feature story.
Say.
Interview with the president.
Say. That we planned the whole thing.
Genius marketing.
The truth is.
That is brilliant.
The truth is.
You're probably going to vote. It's too late.
The truth is.
I mean, that's too good. Say.
We're not that dumb. And we're not that smart.
Did you know that the amount of money that Americans spend on Coca-Cola in 1 week will feed all of the poor children in all of the public schools in all 50 states for 2 years?
What about Pepsi?
What about Pepsi?
Challenge this, Pepsi!
Well, I took Pepsi Cola dress from the previous year and animated to that because I knew that Clinton would say the same kind of platitudes basically every year, and that there'd be some things that the Republicans would like and some things that the Democrats would like. So I basically heightened the partisan reactions that you get at those things. So instead of the Democrats sort of sitting while the Republicans stand and cheer, I would have the Republicans sort of dancing on their chairs and doing the Macarena. Meanwhile, Ted Kennedy is like visibly angry at the welfare cuts, and so he throws a bottle of whiskey at Clinton. And you know, it spills on in front of Newt Gingrich, who sort of surreptitiously starts lapping it up as Clinton continues his speech. And then Sonny Bono throws a chair at Al Gore, and Gore doesn't respond at all because he's made of stone. And then Newt Gingrich sort of curiously whacks him with the chair as Clinton continues.
Still getting no response.
Still getting no response. And then by the end, Larry. With the chair as Clinton continues.
Still getting no response.
Still getting no response. And then and by the end, Larry King's talking to a giant rabbit.
Oh, wait.
Mayday, mayday,
Do you read? Come in, please. Fill in the next 20 seconds with ham radio jargon. Cow's balls, dispatch. Mayday. Oh, I'm flying through the periscope tonight. Definitely doing a test period here. We're all being tested at the Z for a couple of weeks. The cover story, if you will, is that the so-called board blew up and had to be mailed back to the place of origin for repair. Take about 2 weeks or so. That's the cover. The real story, of course, since there's always a different one, is that we're being tested by the IRA for employment as rogue soldiers of fortune for the upcoming Armageddon. Operating on the sly out of Boston College. And depending on how we do, jury rigged, radio on the run, we may be given jobs handling high explosives or just mere clerical duties. I won't say which is more preferred by the ZBC staff, however. At any rate, so that's the information from here to there. We're in another studio, and there's a lot of things missing, like pan buttons. One of the tape decks has only a left speaker, I think it is. Other things are missing, and others are torqued to the left or right. Other than that, it's pretty much normal down here at the House of Chaos. You know what I mean. So it's NCP Part 2 kicking off. Entering the exhibition season, if you will, where the regulars may sit out after a good lathering and then a towel dry on the sidelines. Excuse me if I'm not speaking in extremely declarative, simple sentences for you, but this is my radio voice. Computer digitally remastered and augmented to protect my life. Where was I? No commercial potential part two. Going till 2 o'clock. New metaphysics zone. The mechanically reconstructed Gary Geiserman voice and personality complex on display again this evening. We have a man from the animal husbandry department here at Boston College at the controls of the Gary Geiserman simulation cart. Now on wheels so that it can be from any broadcast studio and virtually real. Pretty soon a living tissued machine with arms and legs and other essentials in case of a disc jockey appearance as required per contract regs. But we won't go into that now. So sit back. Light up a giant cigar-shaped monkey wad, or a big bowl, or a big bud, or a big bowl of cereal, whatever you're into, or fasting and prayer, which might entail turning the radio off, picking us up on the real audio in the sky. And I'll join you again later when we've changed.
then and by the end, Larry King's talking to a giant rabbit. Every now and then that happens. I confess, one of my most, one of my creepiest thought balloons happened when, I watched Diane Sawyer interviewing Mark Furman, and, for some reason, there was just a wealth of these one-on-one interviews with the O.J. participants, and it was always a knockout newscaster interviewing one of these creepy guys, and, my thought balloon was, what if Mark Furman just started clumsily hitting on Diane Sawyer as he was answering these questions? So that begat an entire cartoon, which Furman hits on Diane Sawyer, then Barbara Walters is interviewing Robert Kardashian, and she starts hitting on him, which Barbara Walters didn't like at all, I have to say. And then finally Johnny Cochran hits on Katie Couric and succeeds.
What
because Johnny Cochran always wins. And then and by the end, Larry King's talking to a giant rabbit.
My time is yours.
Received black.
But your original order shows black.
That's impossible because it doesn't go with anything we have.
All right. Let me try the Sherman Oaks store upstairs. See what they have in stock.
Thank you.
With titanium testicles
and a suspended steel scrotum.
WZBC Newton.
And stay the hell away from that place.
Yeah. And he says, don't talk about that too loudly. You know, the wife gets nervous, you know, because she's worried if they kill the barley, they kill the family. But that's not really going to happen here. It seems that whatever is making this thing has intelligence. And it seems that the farmer can still harvest. He doesn't lose any of his harvest whatsoever. In the meantime, he probably makes a lot of money because there are tourists coming all over. The place is crawling with Germans. And the Japanese are over there, and there's scientists and excavation teams kind of...
Well, let's try this angle. Since you have just come from standing here, can you... is there any way in your mind that you can think that Doug and Dave...
Actually, one of them, I think, died. So it's not Doug Dave. But human beings are doing this.
Well, there have been a few that the human beings have done, of course, where there's always a market for something extraordinary. There's always a hoaxer behind it. But that doesn't stand up anymore. I spent a lot of money to go over there and a lot of time with some of the best researchers in this business art, and I can tell you they are perplexed. Colin Andrews just shook his head and said, you know, who's ever making these things knows an awful lot about mathematics, and that's what makes me nervous.
Well, I have never... You're the first one who told me this story about the tractor. That obviously implies some sort of electromagnetic presence, a very strong one, to stop an engine repeatedly again and again and again. As a matter of fact, somebody should go in there with some sort of device and try and measure for that. Did they do that?
They have done that. I don't know the reports on that. He just said that there have been specialists out there that have looked at it, and they bring like a Geiger counter type of thing or whatever,
birthday presented him with a portrait of himself, which elicited some art criticism.
The portrait is a remarkable example of modern art.
Then, a rare confession.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am now nearing the end of my journey. I hope I still have some services to render.
After attracting multitudes everywhere he appeared in Australia, America's Dr. Billy Graham climaxes his Down Under crusade before a record crowd of 150,000 at Sydney's vast cricket ground stadium. The devout multitude hearing there are...
There are two roads! One leads to judgment and destruction and hell, and the other leads to life in this life and life to come and heaven. And right at this moment, you are on one of those roads.
Following the sermon, nearly 6,000 crowd to the pulpit to make decisions for Christ. An event in the history of...
course, was Roswell. Now, I had as a guest on two occasions recently, I was very honored to have Colonel Philip J. Corso, who had a lot of very, very profound things to say about things he saw and did when he was in the military. And one of the things that struck me was that he said the alien bodies that were recovered virtually disintegrated very quickly, and there was not enough time, in his words, to examine them because of that. They virtually deteriorated before their eyes. And you had said about Roswell that somebody had gone back and cleaned it up and that the bodies had disappeared. And all of a sudden, boom, when he said that, it clicked, what you had said about Roswell.
Well, let's revisit that momentarily. It only takes a couple of minutes. This is the SciTech stance on Roswell again. That was an orchestrated crash. It was designed to be a crash. There was a real crash with real aliens. The debris was really there on the floor, on the desert floor, as well as the bodies. But the very advanced race who orchestrated that particular drama then went back in time a number of hours after the event, and at our time, they went back in time and prevented the crash from happening. So there were two parallel timelines there. When they prevented the crash from happening, all of a sudden, because it didn't happen anymore, the things, the physical artifacts, the physical debris disappeared. All the physicality of the event was gone. But because mind is outside of time, mind is really in, let's say, the fifth dimension, time is a fourth dimension, mind is outside of space and time, the memory of the event was still in the minds of the people who touched the bodies, who touched the debris, loaded it onto trucks, drove the trucks to different places. But there was a lot of confusion all of a sudden because those things vaporized. They were no longer there. There's no physical evidence of that crash at all. And yet it was real. So these people will go to their graves, many of them already have, believing that they really touched that and that there really was a crash. And in fact, there was. There's no physical evidence.
Absolutely fascinating.
Time travel. 500 years ago, the Earth was flat. Let's not forget that.
Yes, it was.
Time travel is not that big a deal for advanced races out there. It isn't. And so we see this as a big conundrum. And 50 years after Roswell, which is one-tenth of the time from when the world was flat, come to think of it, it's still a conundrum. It's still a mystery to us all.
During your military...
Unless you're a remote viewer.
Yeah, okay. During your military time, your remote viewers, the people you worked with, you were their training officer, targeting officer, is that correct?
That's correct.
These people occasionally bumped into things while you were targeting obvious military targets, intelligence targets of various sorts, hardware, enemies of the U.S., whatever. They would encounter other things, wouldn't they? Things that you didn't want them encountering.
One of the most common things was a glowing object. As you might guess, a lot of our targets were, let's say, foreign submarines. Submarines, boomers.
Sure.
Soviet boomers represented a big threat to this country.
Sure.
As you might imagine. So, when operations research and systems analysis techniques or Monte Carlo theory or game theory could not pinpoint where a Soviet submarine was, and we needed to be able to do that to take them out using a nuclear weapon if we were to go to war. At that time it wasn't technical remote viewing. Coordinate remote viewing was used to try to get a lock on these Soviet submarines. And what we are encountering in some of these instances were glowing objects, were photographs taken from satellites, to glowing objects, the water or above an actual Soviet sun. And these were, in fact, manned devices, and they were tallying manned devices, and they were tallying the number of warheads and actually the location of all the nuclear warheads in the world, point by point by point.
If I told you that the end of the world was coming, and if you said to me that you'd get down on your knees and you'd pray, I'd say you're in trouble. Because when I go to bed and I pull up those covers under my neck, I say, Jesus, I'll see you in the morning.
Well, you do that very well. Thank you.
I was raised in the fundamentalist church. Believe me, I heard this all my life. We sang songs about being in God's army.
But I think you've really changed the subject. I see a president who's embattled at the moment, and a president who's really based on, and what do I base it on? Not being close to him, but being close to people who are close to him, in the press, I should say, and who watch him carefully, as being very pained at the moment. And certainly, a man who wants to make his mark, and he's, I've never heard anybody ever say that he's that fundamentalist that he believes that the end is nigh. I really, you and I take a different view on that one, but you married to Marjo?
No.
Just you sound a little bit of a technique.
I really believe that he thinks he's doing the Lord's work. He's always been a very
Well, maybe he's right. Take that one, sir. We'll continue to remember that.
Reactions have you gotten from some of the real people who you've caricatured in your cartoons?
Well, the only one who didn't like what I did that I heard from was Barbara Walters.
Mm-hmm.
Stopped sending the show research. Sherry O'Terry, an actress on the show, does a very funny Barbara Walters impression and does it frequently on the show. And they would always send us research from 2020 for her to use, and they stopped after that cartoon, because Barbara objected to the fact that, why am I the one not being hit on? And, what can I say? It's comedy. And Tom Snyder, who you would think would like any attention, played the entire cartoon I did of him on his show. And he played it in its entirety, and it was just, it wasn't any personal attack on Tom Snyder. It was totally innocuous, but it was... In that cartoon, I basically took a Tom Snyder Dolly Parton interview and had him, every question and answer was in a different location, and the point was that Tom Snyder was stalking Dolly
Parton right.
All over town, and calling her late at night while he's pouring hot wax on his thigh, And, you know, so I'm watching this being played. Tom Snyder's setting it up, and it's just me, and I'm interviewing Dolly, and, well, take a look. I think you'll like it. And then it comes back, you know, and the last image is Tom Snyder in jail being hit on by a 400-pound white guy being kissed gently on the neck from his jail cell as he's wrapping up the show. And then, you know, that dissolves out, and you just cut to Tom Snyder's real face. And you just hear, like, his crew laughing, and he's just... It was so bizarre.
That's really funny.
Yeah. Oh. But God bless him. He, you know, he doesn't pretend. He announced on that show, you know, if anybody thinks that I would be mad about these people taking our audio and without permission, and I just want NBC to know that anytime they want to use any part of my show, feel free to rebroadcast it. And NBC to know that anytime they want to use any part of my show,
feel free to rebroadcast anything you want. I could use all the promotion I can get.
Does anybody give you a hard time about copyright? Copyright,
because
no. You're basically stealing signals from TV shows.
He really doesn't know the results. There are people crawling all over. There are people out there. There are people sitting around in lotus position, either over a crystal or on the edge of the thing with a compass. Everybody's trying to figure out the mystery. There's no question in my mind, after researching this and interviewing a lot of people, that this is made by an intelligence of some sort. My own feeling is...
Tonight, before the entire nation, we'd like to apologize to you personally and to beg your forgiveness for all the things we did to you.
Interesting questions. With taxpayer money, has he uncovered some valuable new evidence? Or is he merely saving the information which will gain for him exposure at a national level? Mr. Garrison, it seems, should have some explanation.
Yeah.
Did you all just plant that garbage in the fucking paper?
Who's that?
You know exactly who the fuck this is.
Dave?
Yeah, you got it. Listen, since you're the only straight shoe in that fucking office, I'd like a fucking answer from you. Did you plant it?
Dave, you think we're out of our minds? The whole building's been a zoo since that broke. We can't get a thing done. Report.
I wish to extend to each of you and to each of your families my best wishes for a happy Easter.
One may smile and smile and be a villain. God damn it, we got one of them. Say the 90s of
still a strong momentum of linear logic, you know, pretty much by itself. A lot of these feelers or sort of like threads hanging down from possible probable futures, you know, like whether it was science fiction, which is very, you know, kind of three-dimensional, or whether it was, you know, all these various strains running up to the spiritual activities. None of them were really, they didn't interface with each other very much. And they caused all these splinter groups or countercultural groups to be somewhat separated from each other.
With the first voyage of Robert Fulton's steamboat. The start from Groton, Connecticut of the trial runs of the submarine Nautilus, the world's first vessel to be propelled by atomic power.
The number down here, 552-4684, 552-4684, during Reconstruction here, after the great quake of 97 that you may not have heard about yet, the main crack of that quake, cock-a-doodle-dude right through Beacon Street here in Boston College. Right through the main FM studio. 552-4684. If you need to call the Candyman and get out of some pain, we understand down here. New Metaphysics, Gary Geiserman, stroking the big one till the cows come home or something utterly lactatical happens if you read my gist and catch my jism in a bedpan. Don't be alarmed now. Just call 911, give my name and fingerprint syntactical pattern, and get a white coat out for me. I'll be right over to your place.
very important primates, Abel and Baker, snug in their telemetering cradles, wearing their spacesuits, ready to be blasted off into the Imperium, to gather data indispensable for man's conquest of space. Now safely ensconced in the cone, the firing.
Of the greatest urgency that our educational institutions realize that we now have civil war among the environments created by media other than the printed word. The classroom is now in a vital struggle for survival with the immensely persuasive outside world created by new informational media.
surface, he had plagued with hearing problems from birth. He had early incentive to develop alternative ways of communicating.
Because after you've gone, money goes to somebody else. Another man comes along, marries your wife. Your kids fall in love with strangers. But if you've been good, if you've been decent, how you remembered cannot be sullied, cannot be changed.
Thank you personally, all of us, for the meaning you've given our lives. And to beg your forgiveness for we were wrong. His classmates dreamt that he would amount to a hill of beans. But we were wrong. And you, Rupert, you were right. And that's why tonight,
some interesting questions. With taxpayer money, has he uncovered some valuable new evidence? Or is he merely saving the information which will gain for him exposure at a national level?
Ahead, moving back in time.
Do you discern that an individual is no longer with us, meaning heart, brain, all the rest of it? How do you discern that?
That's taught in the structure, and I don't want to get too technical. There's a number of things you have to learn about this structure and the way that we perceive individuals dead or alive. And it really has to be taught, Art. It's a taught skill. And I wouldn't be able to provide you with any context in a conversation about how we discern that. It's the way that we sketch the individual and the perceptions that we get from the individual, or the lack of perceptions that we get in terms of their emotions or lack of emotions.
Surf is here plagued with hearing problems from birth. He had an early incentive to develop alternative ways of communicating. It was his pioneering efforts in the 1970s that led to the creation of the Internet.
God bless Larry Flint, because Larry Flint, altered the, created this precedent in the parody laws that allows us to do. This falls under fair use,
mm-hmm.
which means that. We can take anything. Which means that as long as it's clearly parody, we can take anything. And, I had no idea. The very first one I did was Larry King and Ross Perot, and I had them call Larry King for permission because I never assumed I could just steal stuff. And Larry King said no, and I thought that was the end of the whole bit. I thought...
Well, this is an opportunity for us to take the Internet to a new step, a new way of providing services on.
To do it, but the NBC lawyers came in and saved the day. And, I thought we'd never get to do it, but the NBC lawyers came in and I never assumed I could just steal stuff. King said no, and I thought that was the end of the whole bit. I thought, I get to do it, but the NBC lawyers came in and saved the day and, told me all about Larry Flint.
Well, Robert.
They're of course definitely coming together, so it was just great to see that in a movie like Contact, where I didn't read the book, and I have heard some things about Sagan having been blackmailed by Majestic 12 to keep his trap shut, about anything that's not hard science, but I don't know if that's just gossip or not. That was the governmental special, secret force that investigated the alien interfacings, and various very very high ranking people like John Foster Dulles, the OAS chief, which became the CIA. He was on it. And, various basic military industrial key people, and the president as well, which at that time was Truman, back 50 years ago at least. It's well documented. A lot of this material, like I say, it's probable. I myself haven't seen anything, but you know, being a metaphysician, you know, you learn how to weigh possible and probable threads. And
the entire nation, we'd like to apologize to you personally.
Garrison, it seems, should have some explanation.
Yeah. You always laid that garbage in a fucking paper.
Who's this?
You know exactly who the fuck this is.
If we're looking at the present location of a person and that person has already died, that's correct.
Oh, that's really eerie. That must be one of the more difficult, unpleasant parts of remote viewing. Remote viewing is not all pleasant by any means, is it?
I think it is very exciting, but those kinds of cases will cause many people to actually begin to cry.
Somehow from either the Devic or the Elemental Kingdom, something that is that keeps most plants and flowers alive and causes them or anomalies with them creating this, but at the same time there is extreme evidence that ET activity resorts specifically over Salisbury Hill, which has been very famous, which is the oldest man-made mountain, which is like 5,000 years old. It's not quite as big as the pyramids of Giza, but it's a big pyramid that they've built.
Well, what is your best guess? I mean, it's always worth asking somebody. There's no way we can really know. Is it an attempt at some sort of communication? Is it a marker laid down for some reason? What do you think this is?
Well, you know, Art, this makes me very nervous, but I'll tell you that in the Bible,
beg your forgiveness for all the things we did to you.
The services on the system is now going to support multicasting, real-time for voice and audio. I'm sorry, voice and video through the network, something that has only been done in small quantities before. This is an opportunity for us to take the Internet to a new step, a new way of providing services on the system. It's now going to support multicasting, real-time for voice and audio. Voice and video through the network, something that has only been done in small quantities before. We've put equipment into the network scattered all around in the system in order to replicate the information to deliver it to people sitting on ordinary PCs that would normally be used just for surfing the network. So
your endeavor, some kind of support group thing for dying fags or something.
Something.
I spent all my time with these two fucking morons. My village idiot son. I miss my wife, Jimmy. Remember Cynthia?
Beautiful lady. Special.
Thank God she never had to see me like this. Look at you. You got a lady?
No.
That's because you're hanging around with the virus breeders, Jimmy. VBs. You into that yet? Biting a pillow?
No.
You will. It's a liberal thing. One day you're saving a rainforest, next you're chugging cock. Am I wrong?
Talk to me, will you?
I want peace. I'm ass fixed to this chair. I'm tired. Old. I shit in a bag. I piss in another. I got a nurse. Call a nurse. Well, darling. No, I'm my friend Jimmy.
Hello.
How are you? Excuse us. She's a 10. Jimmy. She's a planet unto herself. She can't nurse worth shit, but I keep her on because although I can't feel it, I know I have erections in her presence. You understand?
I understand.
Good. Then you'll understand when I say this. Bernard, my son, he's all that's left of my Cynthia, and he's crazy as a shithouse rat. The other day, they catch him in the elementary school playground grabbing itty-bitty titty. It was a mess. And the thing is, I understand the problem. Bernard's problem. Do you remember Meg?
Yeah.
Meg was Bernard's high school sweetheart, you know. I kept it up through college. We thought this was going to get hitched. Until she met this beat, Bruce, studying to be an orthodontist. She busted up with Bernard, moved to L.A. with this beat, Bruce. Bernard's never been the same. I understand part of this was inevitable. Being the son of me, he lacks initiative. Since this Mac thing, this behavior has been worse. And now, this thing in the schoolyard, fiasco. My intelligence tells me this beat Bruce is coming to Denver. Meet Meg's folks, ask the permission to marry a little bangtail. This can't happen. Meg loved Bernard for 7 years. She can learn to love him again.
What do you want done?
It's just an action. It's not a piece of work. Catch the creep. Out on the highway. Before he gets the Megs, brace him. Make it so he'd sooner fuck the fryer later than propose to Meg.
Why me?
Jimmy, you got the nice suit, you got the $70 haircut, but you are taking a dump in your video business. I got a call in the note.
What do you mean you got a call in the note? I didn't take the note off of you. I took it off of New Orleans South.
Took it off New Orleans South? Who do you think New Orleans South took it off of?
Okay. I need a crew. Maybe four. I worship you.
I'm paying 50 G's straight out. It's just an action. Split it any way you want. You want to throw these pathetic yucks some scratch? I applaud you. Sensitivity. For Cynthia. Do it. For Cynthia. May she rest in peace. Do it. For the old days. Do it. For your fag business. Just do it. Where's Ellie? She's some salsa.
Youth instinctively understands the present environment, the electric drama. It lives it mythically and in depth. This is the reason for the alienation between generations, because the older training of observation has become quite irrelevant in this new time. The older training is based on psychological responses and concepts conditioned by the former technology, mechanization. The major advances in civilization are processes that all but wreck the societies in which they occur.
Women standing there. I had my hand around my mother's shoulder, and my mother was a much younger woman than I am today. And he looked at us and he said, Mutter und Tochter, meaning mother and daughter. And we said, yeah. And that was it.
When can I put this program on the internet so that it will be seen around the world?
It's almost definitely going on and has gone on. But I think the thing that's neat now is that, you know, the future is creating the present, and we can choose. So you have the present being touched and influenced by futures that may or may not happen, but they have degrees of possibility or probability. And, you know, so some of the probabilities that I want are hanging down and dangling into the present in such a way that they're causing a fusion of what had been separate groups. And then to see them all sort of tied up in a way of spiritual growth, I thought was really exciting.
Or with a Cadillac. Or with a motor scooter. Any of these things. They are only tools. Do not cling to them. They really do not serve you. They keep you separate. So you must learn to become more agile in your thought. I give you an exercise. One I have given Michael. Wake up in the morning. Think of something impossible to you. Absolutely ridiculous. Something that appalls your consciousness. Rattles your eye teeth. And by the end of the day, believe in it wholeheartedly. Expound upon it. Write a thesis on it. declare it as being the truth. It is real. I find this is a very, very beautiful exercise.
You know, that was like the capper. So as far as I was concerned, you know, like contacted, you know, that's exactly how I would have wanted it to go. You know, if I could have said, all right, how would you like this movie to play out, like if it was a CD-ROM or something? You know, I would have picked it that way, exactly. You know, yeah, I would have had it more dramatic and everything, but it was pretty good. What did you think? Yeah. We're talking about a one-world machine language now that allows, like I say, an internet protocoled kind of generic corpus that allows smart appliances to plug in and have their own operating systems, you know, one of which could be a personal computer. Another could be, you know, like a tracking chip in your car that directly connects you to the satellite network of geomancy, you know, to show you where you are and how to get anywhere and all that sort of thing, you know, whatever that system's called, or you know, UPS package chip, you know, with a chip in it that, you know, will tell the linked people where it is and all that sort of thing. But that, you know, the Microsoft operating system Tarantula, you know, position of dominance will be transcended and transmogrified into you know, just the domination of the certain personal computer appliances, you know, the ones that aren't networked, you know, which would be the minority of personal computers, since the vast majority, like probably 90% or more, would be networked, and that would be you know, dummy computers that are networked in. So like you could have like a Pentium or whatever the equivalent would be, and I could have a dummy shell, but we could both do the same Microsoft software, or you know what I mean? So in other words, it takes the domination of Bill Gates, which is, you know, story of the ages, you know, 40 billion strong, as it were, you know, it making a mockery of financial richness. You know, he's a one-man wrecking crew of the financial system, you know. If he gets any more rich, he's going to have to kill himself. You know, otherwise we'll have I'm just making a joke out of it. The very fact that Bill Gates can be so balanced about amassing that enormous amount of wealth and power hasn't really been done before. Now, it's been done probably in smaller, you know, at different times and places where the overt numbers were not nearly as large, but you know, percentage of market share or something maybe was. But we're talking global now, and you know, so $40 billion. I mean, that, you know, like the, you know, he's, you know, it's it is quite a testament to the ability to allow money flow to continue and to have that much in one place. But irregardless, the thing that I'm laying out, though, is a way to have domination reality like that. And let's face it, what we're talking about is that the $40 billion and the 10 times that amount that's controlled by that, and the 100 times that that's influenced by that, and the 1,000 times more than that that's influenced in a lesser degree by that. In other words, it's a giant mountain of money control, and it influences great portions of the planet. You know, let's face it, it's still domination reality. It's if you like that, fine, but you know, it's not what I'm into. So I'm looking at ways to transmute that, because it's a fait accompli. It's just a matter of how will that be transmuted, transmorphed into dominion, into something that everyone wants, or, you know, the dream of the planet at this point. And, you know, using existing mechanics, laws of resonance, let's have this done with the least expenditure of extra energy as possible.
The flight director says get back in.
Okay. Back in.
Roger. We just had to talk to you for a while.
Who are you? Are you good enough to eat?
In the name of Allah, you may spoon the ever-living, the bringer of durabilities, Hail Mary, her sing-time song, her will be run on him as it is on him.
Some of them look pretty good in them.
We have already reached a point where remedial control, born out of knowledge of media and their total effects on all of us, must be exerted.
Number three,
right.
Take two.
This is we're doing number three,
number
three, take two.
Three.
Take three. Number two? All right, number two. We call the other one number two. All right, number two, take three.
How shall the new environment be programmed now that we have become so involved with each other, now that all of us have become the unwitting workforce for social change?
You never knew what was coming next.
With kiss, cross, kiss, cross.
We are only beginning to realize what a tiny slice of human possibility we now educate. The total environment is now the great teacher. Training will be more concerned with training the senses and perceptions than with stuffing brains. Studies show a high correlation between sensory bodily development, now largely neglected, and intelligence. There's a world of difference between the modern home environment of integrated electric information and the classroom.
Britain formally applies for membership in the market. Westmoreland gets
the classification
program in Vietnam.
An impression.
We have no art.
A hunch.
We do everything as well as we can.
A strange bond often exists among antisocial types in their power to see environments as they really are. The poet, the artist, whoever sharpens our perception tends to be antisocial, rarely well adjusted. He cannot go along with currents and trends.
People who think that because he's Italian and television, and somehow he's against the word. Well, you have to let the media sing for themselves. That we really need the footnotes derived from the visual arts, from graphic arts, from sound, from music.
The artist, the anima of society.
Thank you personally, all of us, for the meaning you've given our lives.
Would you like to sign? I just brought a contract along with me. Two people sitting on ordinary PCs that would normally be used just for surfing the network.
So my obvious question is, when can I put this program on the internet so that it will be seen around the world?
Well, would you like to sign?
I just brought a contract along with them.
No, you should understand.
No, I mean, the technology is...
It's not quite ready for the quality of broadcast that
right.
you have today.
Right.
So I don't want to mislead you. The system produces video, for example, which is not 30 frame per second full screen quality yet. But we can get there. And it's not going to be very many years before we are there. With the increasing power of the computer to compress the information that needs to be sent to produce an image and to compress information needed to produce good quality sound, the fast computers at the edges allow us to transport less information in the middle. That means that we can carry better and better quality video over and audio over time. So today it takes about between 250 and 400 kilobits a second to produce a reasonable, let's say...
VHS quality image over the net. Most people don't have connections that run that fast. The best you do on the average is between 28
and maybe even 64 kilobits a second. But there will be new access technology that let you speed up your access to the net. And there will be more powerful processors that let you squeeze the information down more. And so those two eventually will meet. And at that time, not too far in the distant future, the Charlie Rose Show can be seen everywhere
global.
That the internet will go.
That's right. And how, you said not too distant, but how distant?
I think we're probably looking
18 months?
No, I don't think it's 18 months for the kind of imagery that you might need.
Yeah.
But, you know, if it just were audio, we can do it today.
I know.
About what's compelling. About how one visit to the doctor's office can change your whole life. You can be thinking about 2 million things, about work or about the man you're dating or your family or the latest Kevin Costner picture, and all of a sudden you feel a lump. And you go to the doctor's, and in the course of a single office visit, everything changes.
It is a great world, Wags. Up there and down here.
Yeah, you got it. You're the only straight shooter in that fucking office. I'd like a fucking answer from you. Did you plan it?
If you think we're out of our minds, the whole building's been a zoo since that broke. You can't get a thing done. Reporters crawling everywhere. You think about that?
Somebody planted that fucking story. Somebody tipped off the press. I'm one of fucking Garrison's suspects. I can't go home. The fucking maggots are everywhere. Do you know what you've done to me?
Hey, calm down, Dave. What?
From here on, I am a fucking dead man.
What are you talking?
Man.
Hey, you don't even mention in the story. Don't jump to conclusions.
Look, meet me in the lobby of the Fontainebleau in 20 minutes.
I guarantee you the boss will protect you.
They get bad. Well, that's all a lot of hogwash. And people believe those things because they themselves have a belief system of limitation and lack.
Please accept our warmest wishes, Rita and Rupert, for a long and successful reign together.
tell me there's a worse word in the English language than malignant. I don't think so. I don't think so.
Because it loosens all the restraints on the mind. Yes, you say, well, this is called insanity. Not really. After all, it is only an exercise, you see. So I think we have come to an end for this time.
And the very next step for the computer internet corpus is to do what I just said, you know, to have a kind of Java generic-based type O blood kind of thing that takes all, you know, universal donor. You know, anyone can jack in with any kind of OS, and there'd be a translator interface for it. See, that's the normal thing for computers and software. What Gates has done is very unusual. It's against nature, and it can't last too much longer. Now, the problem Apple had was they underestimated how much longer that longer was. You know, that longer wasn't from 1983. It's still going on. But there isn't much longer to it. In fact, it's happening as we speak. Because the thing that computers do best is they interface between anything. That's absolutely what they do. And, you know, as we know, that's almost all that they do. But that's never been abundant on the planet before. We've always had a more hard-edged kind of three-dimensional reality to this thing that allowed for more domination. Now that everything is watery and everything is dissolvent, everything can be dissolved, everything can be changed into anything else, you know, which is what the computer does, it's incumbent upon itself and for the global participants to have it be that way now. It's getting to reach critical mass now that it's in its optimal form, which is a global computer, you know, the internet. Because that's all the internet is, it's just a large computer.
Thank you. than that. Today, environmentalists from all over the globe are adopting a new, more holistic approach to their studies, which they call deep ecology. Deep ecology goes beyond the traditional scientific framework to incorporate a greater spiritual awareness of the planet. Or, as eco-philosopher Parlin Grass puts it, an understanding of the oneness of all life. I have a feeling that we are entering a new time for cell rights, a period of a different paradigm or model, a period of learning to run warm and cool, not hot and cold, toward viruses, cells, and one another.
Notice. Art is anything you can get away with.
The envelope, please.
Next is my page 19, speech 1, Innumerable Confusion.
I don't think you can quite get away with that phrase. Innumerable is suggest numbers. Confusion is singular. I don't know. Do you like the phrase, innumerable confusion?
Innumerable confusion.
Well, it's part of the...
It's part of what?
It's part of the confusion, sir.
Ah, okay. You're miming.
Miming over that.
Still. Innumerable confusion and a profound feeling of despair invariably emerge in periods of great technological and cultural traditions such as our own. Our age of anxiety is in great part the result of trying to do today's job with yesterday's tools, with yesterday's concepts, with yesterday's ideals.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
All right, Dr. Know-It-All. Let me tell you about this dream I had.
Sure.
It's this really skinny kid from high school.
Mm-hmm.
He's like leaning up against a building.
Right.
And all these big kids from high school are going over to him. And I think they're going to beat him up. But it turns out they just want diet tips.
And as it merges with the phone company and all the other technologies, and the whole universe of wireless gets in there, so that there'll be like, you know, thousands of times more computers than there are now, and most of them will be network dummies. You know, that proprietary operating system is not going to have a place. It just can't make it. And nothing against Gates. I don't see him not being the major player in media, but I think Gates is going to realize he's going to have to shift from being, shift into communications more than business applications or computer applications. You know what I mean? And he's well poised to do that, and all the people he joins up with, you know, a lot of Jews, a lot of savvy people that have the savvy he does not have. That will be the killer app of the global network computer called the Internet. You know, Bill Gates will be the killer app of the world net.
Let me ask you this. If you could go to the bathroom and candy came out, what kind of candy would it be?
They have to break away from their remoting session for a number of minutes and come back and restart. It's very similar. You're not really there. It's not like being there. You're picking up a person the way they exist as a pattern of information. So you're not. It's not really like being next to the person in an out-of-body experience.
Right.
It's very much like watching a documentary. Let's say a documentary about a week ago, something like that.
Okay, we've talked in the past about out-of-body experiences.
The detached,
and was headed toward Earth. Can you tell us any... And that had in it a plant pathogen.
It has really there.
Remote viewing is not all pleasant by any means, is it?
I think it is very exciting, but those kinds of cases will cause many people to actually begin to cry. And they have to break away from their remote viewing session for a number of minutes and come back and restart. It's very similar. You're not really there. It's not like being there. You're picking up a person the way they exist as a pattern of information.
I know you, Sylvester. Turn that shit down. I said, I know you?
No.
Then what the fuck you doing coming in my place of leisure, dressed like that, fronting me for a piece of ear?
I'm looking for Earl Denton.
Oh, you looking for Earl Denton?
Earl Denton.
A.K.A. Easy Win.
A.K.A. Easy Win. What the fuck? You hear this, boy? A.K.A. my dick, Uncle Salty.
A.K.A. his dick, Uncle Salty.
I need to find Earl Denton.
What are you doing here? You don't have an appointment today.
I would love to get in on Tuesdays. Why are they so hard? I never did a Tuesday.
Well, Fred, you have to pay your dues.
Can I just sit here and read the magazines?
Fred, your appointment's not till tomorrow, so why don't you just take them with you?
Take them? Take them out of here? That wouldn't make any sense. That's so out of context, reading a magazine that's supposed to be here and not here. That wouldn't make sense. That'd be like eating pizza on a roller coaster. It'd be like... shaving on an escalator. It makes no sense. It'd be like listening to music in your car.
Vast, matey.
Avast. Ships passing in the nighttime, I guess. Let's try that. Might be an improvement for the human race. But surely I jest. CBC in the nighttime. Commercial potential. Nicht. Part 2. Subdivision 3, heading number 1. Please read along with me. Open your prayer books, please. This is a religious event. And put the appropriate monetary device in the slot, please. I'm Gary Geiserman. So I didn't hear any echo there. I'm presuming that echoed down the canyon. Just pretend with me and you won't get hurt. 90.3 WZBC, the friendly radio station, the house of chaos, as it were. 552-4684, the new number for a while. I got one phone call on it, so I don't know if things are working or not, or if I'm the only one listening to my show tonight. I just do not know this, because I am a 3D human, and 3D humans suck. You know what I mean? But I can dream, can I, of a 4-5D human experience. Never been done, so I'm told. But then, why else would I want to do that? I do know that about myself. If it's been done here and there, I will be somewhere else then. So it only makes sense, you know what I mean? That you and I should be sharing this new kind of thing together. With new potentials in all directions. It's only about what hasn't been done. And I don't mean that logically, you dickheads out there that misinterpret me. Not all of you, of course. Some of you aren't dickheads, okay? But who's to say? Which leaves you in doubt. So don't think you're going to call me on that. You can follow the underlined words on your screen, so there shouldn't be any misappropriation of meaning here. I'm just trying to line it all up so I can go home in peace and flip off the planet for a few peaceful hours. For Christ's sake. You know what I mean? Just the human experience. By the way, you know everything that you were taught in school? No, not that. You know everything that you know at all that's ever happened on this planet to this race? Not only is it all wrong, much more than that. It never happened. I thought we flipped off the old orb there for a moment. I thought my life was over. I thought it was all over. Well, partially. Anyway. I try not to be too dishonest on my radio show. But sometimes you just gotta ease off on the joystick a little bit. let Uncle Salty steer the ship for a little while. You know what I mean? All right, enough said. Total 2 o'clock, at which point it won't go anymore. Then ZBC Rocket 7, of course. So Sphere being made for a super Christmas blockbuster with Dustin Hoffman and directed by Barry Levinson. Michael Crichton book. Read it now. They may take all the metaphysics out of it. But of course, I will go try and see it early when it first comes out so that I can recreate it in my own image, as it were, and claim it as my own work. And what gives me the audacity to think I can do that without confining myself to a home for misaligned minds? What right do I have to say things like that? I don't need no effing badges, my friend, my gringo friend. So I'll try to get to the theater early. After worshiping to my ex-compatriot Jesus Christ first during the holiday season, and recreate Sphere to my liking, because you see, this is the only world I've got, like my show, and I'm mixing here. I determine what goes on the air. Nobody tells me what I'm in a program. All right. Keep it down. Talk amongst yourselves. And I'll be back with a warm cup of cocoa for yous all. Even using the cheap seats with the mono radios that are going in and out of clarity. And especially to rich, wealthy titans of industry riding in your own automobile on the interstate with stereo, four-speaker fidelity, and air conditioning. Cruising on the light belt. All of you out there, get hot cocoa. Through the air. That's my dream. Moving 3D through the ether. Before the government tells me I have to.
able to read or listen to this report. So you would see that the limits of your auditory, your visual, and other sensory experience would be something that would limit you automatically just being in the psychophysical form of the body.
Person today is a data processor on a very large scale.
And how, you said not too distant, but how distant?
I think we're probably looking
18
at...
18 months?
No, I don't think it's 18 months for the kind of imagery that you might need. But, you know, if it just were audio, we can do it today.
I know. That's every
company. Do it today. You can have that worldwide right now.
Yeah.
If you need the video, then we're probably talking, you know, several years before there's a reasonable penetration of higher bandwidth access to the network. That is fundamentally the issue.
And what you see for the future, are we just beginning?
We really are just beginning, even though for many of us, you know, my partner Bob Kahn and I did some of this work in 1973, which is a number I don't even like to admit anymore.
24 years ago.
24 years ago.
24 years ago, time's an illusion, does not exist. But 24 years ago, they had better technology. Oh, well, it's an old story for those who go way back with it, that is. ZBC in Newton on a funded by a special media project by Vice President Gore's information superhighway project. I'm siphoning off most of that money, but the rest of it does go into producing this show and a few other shows in this channel, merely for disinformation, because the media superhighway is just a hype for basically a black project to monopolize the world telecom. But of course it's a losing battle, and all the people inside know that, so it's just a chance for me to get my hands on some of that green and, you know, wallpaper my bathroom with it and stuff like that. I just thought I'd share that with you, since I do like to be honest on this show, at least when I'm within the parameters of this particular honest Gary voice, which isn't always the Gary voice that you get. But that's another story.
Design work. And at that time, we had some inklings about what was possible. I don't even like to admit anymore.
24 years ago.
24 years ago. Basic design work. And at that time, we had some inklings about what was possible. But I don't think, at least I don't think I appreciated what it would be like to have a network of the scale that we have today. There's something like 20 million computers in this.
You know what I mean? And he's well poised to do that, and all the people he joins up with, you know, a lot of Jews, a lot of savvy people that have the savvy he does not have. I don't see him not being the major player in media, but I think Gates is going to realize he's going to have to shift from being shift into communications more than business applications or computer applications. You know what I mean? And he's well poised to do that, and all the people he joins up with, you know, a lot of Jews, a lot of savvy people that have the savvy he does not have, that will be the killer app of the global network computer called the internet. You know, Bill Gates will be the killer app of the world net. And he will be forced to continue to do good, because he insists on insinuating himself into the world in the largest possible way, and he's going to be forced by the world to go for the great ride, and the ride's just beginning.
Dr. Katz, why am I such a cranky baby?
Wide network, and about 200,000 networks that are all hooked together. But I don't think, at least I don't think I appreciated what it would be like to have a network the scale that we have today.
Excuse me, you're another patient here. Could I ask you something? Could I sit in with you on your session? I need an appointment, and maybe if you pause or if you cough, I could slip in a question really quick. And then I won't even wait for the answer. I'll wait later, but I won't even take the seat. I'll sit on the floor. You can have the couch. I'm not here. I'm here, but I'm not here.
Something like 20 million computers in this worldwide network, and about 200,000 networks that are all hooked together. And they're growing at close to 100% a year.
I went home for the holidays, right?
No.
And everybody, all the men in my family are bald, and all the women are fat. It's like a Metallica concert going on in my own home.
But it's not going to be, you know, the thing that will drive him towards dominion is his quest for domination. You know, the thing, because he still feels like he's nowhere. He's having the time of his life fighting Sun and Java and trying to get Netscape, and you know the things he's doing now. You know, he still feels like he's a startup, and he's got to work really hard. And that's like the beginner's mind, like they say. You know, he's the most poised to be the most successful. And when you have that much money, also, you know, it's a fait accompli. I mean, he would have to just die and have the estate directed to do strange things for it not to continue, like I'm saying, because $40 billion demands that he be in that position. There's no way out of it. You know, unless he gets syphilis and goes insane and starts doing strange things. But I don't think he's capable of getting syphilis, because it would interfere. So his brain would destroy syphilis, I think, if it tried to get in there.
You have nieces, you have nephews, siblings, and grandparents?
Yeah, I only have one grandpa. We call him Grandpa Alive. But he still beats me at checkers.
Mm-hmm.
But I kick his ass at full contact karate. Oh, it's almost a crime.
sense of perspective, the telephone system today has 700 million terminations on it, 700 million telephones. So the internet is really tiny by comparison.
How many internets? How many PCs?
There are about 20 million PCs or other computers.
Oh, computers, right. 20 million.
And yeah.
700 million phones.
In the telephone system. That's right. So right away you say, well, you know, what is all this hype about the internet? It's just a tiny little thing. But the telephone system is not growing at more than 6 to 10% a year at most. The internet's growing at 80 to 100% a year. What that means is that somewhere around the middle of the next decade, next century, next millennium, right around 2005, we are going to see an internet which is as big as the telephone system is today.
Choo-choo.
Or airplane.
Choo-choo.
Well, let's do it.
Airplane?
Give me thumbs.
That's enough, sweetie. Take the night off. Go on, run the video. What the fuck did you do to my Irish mallet, Jimmy? Looks terrible.
You gave me your word of friendships.
I gave my word. Gee whiz. And Jimmy, don't you see? I'm a criminal. My word don't mean dick.
You gave me your word.
Your word! Your word you gave me the other day! You gave me your word.
I met someone. I met a girl. I'm asking you. I don't want her hurt.
Oh, she's lovely. Maybe we'll get her in here. Dance for the boys. Tough guy thing, Jeff. Very exciting. Now, get on your knees.
What?
Get on your knees.
Why are you doing this?
Because I got pressure sores, Jim. They leak pus.
Now, get on your knees.
This is a tough guy thing, Jeff. Very exciting. Now, get on your knees.
What?
Get on your knees.
Why are you doing this?
Because I got pressure sores, Jim. They leak pus.
Now, get on your knees.
Get on your belly.
I'm not gonna beg.
Get on your fucking belly, Jim. I sent the boys out with 30 bottles of rock. Your crib's address. They round up 8 crackhead niggas. Gang raper, if they want to pipe up, now get on your fucking belly.
Now, being the head writer and editor for Gagoo magazine, a magazine by and for babies, with stories like Grandpa, Gimme Back My Nose, or It's a Whale of a Tale.
Yeah.
Am I losing you?
No.
Huh?
No, I'm with you.
Tell me.
I'm
you know, cats, what is wrong with me?
Well, you know, that's not such a simple...
Come on, you bloodsucker. How long are you going to suck off my teat before you cure me? Fix this! Fix this!
Hey,
mill, it would interfere. So his brain would destroy syphilis, I think, if it tried to get in there. You know, in other words, he won. He's the greatest. He's just, again, he's in the wrong game, though, if you're catching my drift here, in a tongue-in-cheek way. He's the greatest. He won. He already beat everybody. And beginning for him, and would he have it any other way? Probably. Tongue-in-cheek way. He's the greatest. He won. He already beat everybody. And it's just beginning for him. And would he have it any other way? Probably not. He's right. He isn't secure. He is in jeopardy for everything, and he's nowhere. So he has to try harder. And so that's exactly what he loves to do. And that's why he will be a driving force for Dominion, but that's not what he'll be trying to do. You know? So I see him being basically a major media player in communications. And of course, like I've said, you know, communications and media hasn't even begun yet. It's a mere shell of what it will be, because the whole new world is media. You know, it's the fourth dimension of intermediation of three-dimensional objects. You know, all the ambient energy in between those, and all the new laws that govern that world, which is a much, much, much bigger world than the three-dimensional world of capital, goods, and financial tags, you know, that go to those goods. You know, so it's like giving up animal food to eat vegetarian. You know, it's much bigger. People think it's much smaller. And this is much bigger. So, you know, everything will be media. Most of it hasn't been invented yet. And once it's all linked together, you know, wireless with e-money and with cryptography and with, the plateau of audio video on demand, you know, very easy and quick. And once there's money on the net and the media conglomerates get on there, you'll have those network dummy computers. It'll be a law. It's a law. You know, they'll literally pay you to have them. You know, and that'll probably be my first computer, because I'll finally be able to afford one. You know, but anyone who wants to carry the weight and have their own mini universe, otherwise known as a personal computer, you know, with all the thousands of pounds of gorillas inside of it, they will have them. You know, there'll be a certain small percentage that will have that, I guess. Maybe not. I don't personally. It looks like a dinosaur to me, because it's pretty silly at this point to have all that brute force there. It's just, you know, I mean, you know, it just, you know, there's not much future in that. So I don't know. That's what I want. What I want now is that, you know, Microsoft bought Apple, and neither one is going to be a player anymore. They got us to where we are now. The mechanics that they embodied, you know, got us here, and it was very good. You know, great job. Everyone should applaud themselves. You know. Very, you know, job well done, even however inferior it was, you know. You know, and however slow, god-awful, mighty slow it's been. Like, we're losing time. You know, this computer technology, it's like, it's a march backwards in time. You know, it was all invented like 30 years ago, or 40 or more years ago, and we've been moving steadily backwards. You know, it's almost a beautiful phenomenon of absolute insanity, and yet here we are, and we're at the jumping off point, and you know, and I don't see the you know, the best thing, of course, like I say, would be no proprietary control like that. You know, the internet is going to have so much commerce on it. It can't be controlled like that. It's just it'll blow it away. And also, you know, like the actual power of the computer has been hampered. And like I say, it started off with a bang, and then it's retreated for 30 or 40 years now. We've been suppressing growth. It's like cancer, you know, where the cells forget how to grow and they go in the opposite direction. You know, they forget that they're body cells. They think it's that they're something else, and they create this weird hybrid called cancer, which, you know, is an alien. You know, doesn't belong in a human body. Well, that's what the computer, so-called, that I don't think is a real computer. You know, it's an alien. It's cancer. It's gone backwards. Every year we lose wisdom. Every year we get more ignorant.
Hey, Dad?
Yes, sir.
You got a minute here? I got some problems.
Hey, where are you now?
Actually, I'm right outside the dump.
And yeah.
They don't let me in. It's not open to the public anymore.
What are you talking about, Ben? It's the city dump.
I know, but you have to have a license to dump there in order to...
Well, that is an obscene law. I mean,
apparently you can't throw out stuff anymore. You gotta keep it.
Yeah, well...
I asked them if I could leave it at the gate, and they'd take it in, but they won't.
Will they accept it as a gift?
No, now I can't get rid of it at the dump. I'm thinking about just leaving it somewhere, you know?
Well, that is what the dump is for. Traditionally, it's a drop-off place for all the...
Not anymore, Dad. They've changed the dump.
What, is it all digital now, Ben?
It's nice.
Yeah.
They got a great setup here.
Well, don't get attached to any of that stuff.
Oh, I come here
every day. Hey, Dad? Yeah.
Well, I mean, I just, you know, I'm starting to get fond of the old thing. It's like a friend.
That's what I've been saying to you, is that...
We don't have
a chair can speak volumes.
Hey, Dad.
Yeah.
We're going insane.
I want to thank you for your tape. We listen to it with great interest.
Oh, good.
Well, frankly, we see a lot of good things in what you're doing.
Oh, good.
You have a good potential.
Good potential. Good.
Which is why I'm going to be absolutely honest
with
you.
Well, that's the way you should be. Absolutely honest.
We just don't think you're ready yet.
Don't think I'm ready.
We just don't feel that right now you're right for Jerry.
Right for Jerry. Mm-hmm.
Some of the material, some of it is good.
Yes.
But some of the one-liners, for instance, are not very strong.
They're not very strong. In other words, you didn't...
What problems does that bring?
Well, it primarily brings the problem of scale. How do you take a system that was designed 24 years ago and make it scale all the way up to the size of the telephone system and bigger? And that is the problem that right today in Munich, the Internet Engineering Task Force, the people who make the standards for the net, are meeting, struggling with many of the aspects of scaling up. For us, at MCI, it means building bigger pipes inside the network to carry traffic. Today we run our basic inside network at 622 megabits a second, which frankly is a pretty damn fast circuit.
If you were only interested in business, what business would you want to be in?
I would want to be in the business of taking information, packaging it, and delivering it to someone to make use of it. That would be the business I would want.
It's the business I'm in.
That's the business you're in, too.
And, you know, so, because the real power of the computer would blow this phenomenon away. This would never happen. The real water world that inductive reasoning of, you know, the world of the subconscious mind, really, you know, this, you know, it's like trying to bottle water with like screens. You know, that's not how you bottle water up, you know, that's what's been done. And, you know, let's hand it to capitalism and domination, three-dimensional reality. It's the last kick. You know, it's like fundamental, you know, it's like Nazism or something. It's the last, you know, toy parade by pretenders to the throne. And, you know, they did it very well. You know, God bless them, you know. But we got here anyway. And so now it's getting to be the age of the computers, you know, just about now. And it'll, you know, this will be this will be so irrational what happened so far that it'll be hard to remember it, because there'll be very few threads connecting it to the new consciousness, because it's so absurd, you know, it's so surreally bizarre that you had a computer and you control the operating system. I mean, that's an amazing thing. Got to hand it to that guy, you know. None of the other nerds would ever have done that. Most of them never wanted that to happen. You know, most of the people in computing were really like vanguard of the new consciousness in their separated, nerdish kind of, you know, infinitely segregated kind of way, you know. But that allowed it in, and they were giants of vision. Really was. But Bill Gates, you know, had to be there, though, because it was too early. You know, it wasn't time yet. But now it's time.
closing in on the big two on the little hand, 12 on the big one kind of thing. Go about another half hour. A half hour free of charge because you've been good tonight. At least that's what I was told to say by the man with a gun on my back. No, I just made that part up. You weren't good tonight. But then why should you be in this kind of time and this kind of place where you've been all your life? You can be traced back, you know. It's New Metaphysics. The Gary Geiserman simulacrum tonight. The real one is in Geisha House having a little R&R. Summer vacation. Sex holiday. All rolled into one. Along with human relations. Shaking hands with the other half. ZBC Radio Network on the air. Free of charge here in the Western Hemisphere, but in the third, in the other areas of the third world, we're raking it in with this programming. I just wanted to tell you that. Translated into various languages, some of the musical sounds electronically distorted and reconfigured into analog instruments for domestic regional ingestion, making big bucks for the ZBC Corp. Not yet controlled by a mega global, but we're trying to. Each DJ gets a few mil and goes home, kind of thing. And why not? It's America. You can get hunched over or hunch over somebody just like anyone else. But enough of that. Enough business. This is an artsy kind of show, and let's at least keep the illusion up. From now on, for about two more weeks, it's 552-4684. If you want to talk to the great one behind the mic, the regular studio is being reformatted along the lines of UFO technology with a kind of a composite 3D spray technique, molding seamlessly in all dimensions, at least the three main physical ones. Hold on, I got a call. Just a call from my accountant. My wealth has increased times four since I began my show. And I think that's the new the Gates model for all of us. Is that while you're taking a shower, let's say, you can quadruple your entire net worth. And that's as it should be, I think. Hold on, I got another call here. Quadrupled again. I'm crawling in it. And because of the nature of money, it has to be circulating at all time. It's like blood in the organism, you see. And we are merely the medium for it. Wait a minute, I think it's the tax man.
Pick up the shield. You tell me what you pick.
Pepsi.
Yeah, it just goes to show you, Dad.
What?
Huh?
It just goes to show you what?
I don't know. It's just an expression.
Sorry.
Take it seriously.
Sorry. You know, I'm so literal these days.
Yeah. What?
I said I'm so literal these days.
What's that supposed to mean?
How about a truce? How about we agree to not to listen to each other?
You're right. Let's flip a coin.
You go first.
All right.
No, let's choose up who flips the coin.
But 1, 2, 3, shoot. Damn it.
Jim?
Better days. This is the new face. It's a fact.
It's true.
I'm not gonna bank. Get on your fucking belly, Jim. I sent the boys out with 30 bottles of rock. Your Quim's address. They round up 8 crackhead niggas. Gang raper if they wanna pipe up. Now get on your fucking belly.
He's a better taste in your mouth than folk, Jerry.
New joint. The new joint. The new taste of Pepsi.
That's the way.
If you want to quit shallow tap into that mind, if you want to quit shallow tap into that mind,
they determine, they select, they shape, they control, they restrict in order to serve the interests of dominant elite groups in society.
Buy the world a home and furnish it with love. Grow apple trees and honeybees and snow white turtle doves.
Good. I can take care of that right away. Just tell me the ones you don't like, and no problem. Actually, that's a great help. This is great.
Now, we think you have a good potential. Your timing, by the way, is excellent.
Thank you.
But we feel you should keep developing your act. You ought to test it in a few live situations. I think that'd be very good for you. Now, there are a number of clubs in the city that you can try. When you start working in those, you give us a call. We'll send someone down to check you out. That's a promise. Okay?
Thanks.
You're welcome. Bye-bye now.
Thanks. Miss Long, may I ask you a question?
Yes.
Are you speaking for Jerry?
Yes, I am.
You are?
I am, and he has complete faith in our judgment.
Well, I'm sorry to have to say this, Miss Long, and I certainly don't want you to take it personally, but I have to tell you I don't. I don't have faith in your judgment.
Well, I'm sorry that you feel that way. But I guess there's really nothing we can do about that, is there?
No, I'm afraid I'll have to disagree with you again, Miss Long.
Well, that's your privilege, Mr. Pumpkin. Now, would you excuse me, please? I have a great many things to do.
Miss Long, when will Jerry be back?
Mr. Langford won't be in until very late this afternoon. Mr. Pumpkin, we mean what we say when we thank you for stopping up. And we mean it when we tell you that you can call us when you start working, all right? Goodbye.
Goodbye.
anyone else you'd like to see?
No, that's all right. I don't mind waiting. Which reminds me about the man who waited so long he forgot what he was waiting for.
Well, would you mind waiting outside, Mr. Pupnik? This is a reception area, not a waiting room.
I understand. Did you ask him to leave?
Yeah, but he won't go.
What's his name?
Rupert Pumpkin.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Raymond Wirtz, in charge of security for the Lankford organization. Why don't we go outside and talk? Is this your pick?
Yes.
Yeah, please.
Well, I'm waiting for Jerry. It's personal.
We'll talk about that outside. Please,
well,
sir, take
I
your...
Really, I know he's expecting me.
Listen, we'll talk about that outside. Please take your back. I'll explain company policy to you underway, okay? Now, I'm pretty sure you understand that we have certain rules here that are essential to the smooth functioning of our operation. Right?
Good.
I could just say that. Just listen, please, okay? And that without these rules, we really wouldn't be able to function at our best. You follow my point?
I get the point, except...
Please, Mr. Puffer, please.
Now, after you,
After you, sir, please.
If I could just say that Jerry is listening to me.
I checked with Miss Long. You do not have an appointment. Now, company policy is that only authorized personnel and those persons with official business with our organization are permitted on our premises.
Now, in other words, you want me to leave the building?
I know this is kind of weird. Can you be nicer?
Sure.
I'm sorry, because it's a little off-putting. Sometimes you're...
Oh, to you?
Beg for your life, Jim.
I beg I die.
Beg, you fuck.
Beg, asshole. No.
Beg me, or I'll let you suck my dead dick in return for your life. Maybe not. Maybe I decide to be a stand-up guy. Forget the whole thing. Or buckwheats. Or maybe buckwheats. Or no. Live with that. And the fun part, the real shit and giggles part, is you ain't never gonna know what I decide. You're staring at your guts on the wall.
Got to accentuate the positive feeling. Find it to negative. Latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In Between. Got to spread joy up to the maximum. Bring truth down to the minimum. Have faith or pandemonium. Liable to walk upon the sea.
To illustrate his last remark, John. What's it mean? Just whatever.
are young, strong. You believe neither in God nor in me. You're an integral part of your century, and you've got that scientific mind. I need that confrontation. It's there, even if there is only one possible outcome.
Get ready.
I don't like complications.
The end is near.
The same in music. I like what is natural. To live what the music demands, and I try to do my best.
I just wanted to be everything. Well, that didn't sound quite sincere enough. I just wanted to be everything. Even if I didn't know if that was okay. Now I know it's okay. And with your help, I will realize my dream. Thank you.
The only difference between one crazy man and Dali is very simple. Dali is not crazy at all.
The psychos just sit.
We avoid that kind of expression here, Mr. Frost. We refer to the people who come to us as patients, or in more extreme cases, as mentally ill.
Which one am I? Which one? I hope.
24 corpses buried under your lawn, including 7 children, all of them tortured to death. I'd find it hard to imagine a more extreme case.
It's not hard. It's impossible. I am the extreme case. I'm darkness. I'm a prince.
In that case, you'll be at home here. Dr. Elias has a patient who goes by the name of Lucifer, and then, of course, there's dear old Henry who prefers to be called Mephistopheles.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, we're the same thing, Sarah. Those people are crazy.
I would appreciate it if you'd stop calling me Sarah. How do you explain the complete lack of data on you? No date of birth, no place of birth, family, nationality unknown? If you're a product of spontaneous generation, believe me, you're unique.
No, you're forgetting Floyd's Perlmutter. You'll find all the details in Volume 5 of Psychotherapy and Analysis, starting on page 684, line 15. Not going to check?
No, those party games don't mean much to me. Mr. Frost, do you remember the policeman who arrested you in Brighton?
Policeman, remember, I am memory.
A man named, Rottweiler.
Detweiler.
Right. This man seems terribly attached to you. He's followed you everywhere in the past 2 years from one country to another.
Religious fanatic, huh?
Maybe he knows something about you.
Hmm? All fanatics know things about me. They have a greater fear of me than love of their god.
Right now, I'm in the business of helping to transport that information from one place to another. But let's talk a little bit about where it starts and where it ends.
All right.
It turns out that a lot of information can be managed, generated, and manipulated in a computer. And a lot of information can be absorbed in a computer. And what goes on in between is mostly bits. What gets very interesting to me is the possibility of sending very complex information that's interpreted at the receiver. Now, today you have a television set. That's what your viewers are watching right this moment. It's a fairly complicated piece of gear, but it isn't really doing much processing on the information that's coming in. Suppose it was coming in a form that let it compute on the data. What if it was more than just video and audio? What if I was sending written information and other kinds of web pages and other sorts of data? And suppose it could actually absorb that and then run software in that receiving device so that it could do something useful with that data. A little bit like what Michael Bloomberg does with the data that he presents to his customers. Well, we're beginning to see some possibilities in the telephone system of taking intelligence at the edges of the network where the internet lives,
which is the business your company's in,
that's right, and then taking the intelligence inside the network, which we build, and letting the software in people's computers and eventually their appliances, like television sets, let the two pieces of software in the middle of the telephone net and the edges of the net communicate with each other and handshake and do things. Now that is a powerful, powerful combination. It's different from the telephone net today, which has a dumb device at the edge. It's different from the television system today, which has a dumb device at the edge. Now we want to combine these. And to...
I missed my appointment?
Yep.
That's okay, because I'm an upbeat, positive guy. I'm not negative. I don't dwell on things. Hi, sweetie. The people are attracted to me because I don't mope. I accentuate the positive. I'm like someone you like.
Which is very tough because you got a lot of competition.
And they get, when they decide to cleanse the land, it's cleansed, and that's the way it is. Over in Hawaii, when I was over there, I went over there and I prayed with my people with my pipe and asked for the volcano to erupt so I could, because I promised my apprentices that they'd see a volcano erupt. And the volcano erupted for 22 hours. And we flew over it in an airplane. And we made four different passes over that volcano. Eight we got to go make because he wanted to make sure I got the full treatment. But we flew over it. And here's 1,500 feet in the air, this great, beautiful, bright fountain of hot lava. And you see it flowing down the other side of the mountain. And over the other side of the mountain, there was a developer who built a thing that he called Hawaiian Royal Gardens. And the volcano didn't care. And it had devoured up 22 houses, and the rest of the subdivision wasn't doing too good. And I understand that this year, when the other volcano erupted over there, it took much more with it also. But the volcanoes are recreating, because what happened was that the volcano had erupted back in 1973, added 200 acres to the island. It's just that they arranged the real estate the way they like it. It's just like back in, I believe it was 1973 was a very active year because it was the beginning of the earth changes. And there was a major earthquake up in Montana. And what happened with that earthquake was that it took a half a mountaintop down and threw it down in a river, in a valley, and dammed up the river completely. And behind the river now they have Earthquake Lake. So the volcano, the earthquake recreated in terms of it. And this is what is happening and will continue to happen all over the world. It's part of a very natural process. And it is a process that our thing is learning to listen, to tune into the earth and to be aware. We pray all the time and we ask about these things, these earth changes, major changes that are coming up on the earth, and we ask the spirits about it. Some time back, I was praying and I asked the spirit, what about these things? What is going to happen? This is many years back up in Reno, and the spirits come to us, and they said, you speak of earthquakes of sevens and eights on your Richter scale. They say, we speak of tens and twelves. And when you realize that a quake of a 7.2 on the Richter scale raised the ocean floor 1,500 feet in one place and dropped it 3,000 in another off the coast of Madagascar, you realize the magnitude and the power of these forces.
Is a person who uses the telephone to talk to other people about telephones. And a computer nerd, therefore, is somebody who uses a computer in order to use a computer.
The power of software, combined with the power of communications, is going to create a whole new medium.
Itself become a problem.
let's talk about wireless in connection with internet. There are already some opportunities to use wireless communication to get connected to the internet. There's a little company out in the West Coast that it's called Metricom, and they offer a service they call Ricochet, which is essentially a radio-based modem that gives you 38 kilobits a second, which is better than what you get over the typical telephone line today. But there's some more exciting wireless coming.
Now, what do you get over ISDN?
ISDN is between 64 and 128 kilobits. More exciting, the wire line access can be much faster than even ISDN. There are some services called digital subscriber loops that run up in the tens of megabits per second. It's just that they haven't been deployed very quickly by the various local telephone companies. But to come back to wireless for just one other second, there are other ways of using wireless communication in connection with internet, and they are related to what we are doing with progressive networks. Today we talked about a system that uses primarily the wireline network to distribute information to users. But we can take satellite communication, and we can take sort of point-to-point radio communications and broadcast information out, just like the television does today, except it contains internet packets. And that smart device on the edge receives them and interprets them. And so it might be images, it might be sound, it might be recipes, it might be the news. It might be other kinds of, maybe the latest book, like the one that... that multimedia connection can come to you, whether it's in the office or at home, to that smart appliance with software in it, which will absorb the data, interpret it, and then present it in any form that you happen to prefer.
Cable companies and the development of a modem for cable.
That's right.
Where is that?
Well, it works. We've seen some examples. We participated in some trials. Depending on what the cable companies have invested in their plant, in their physical plant, most of them build their systems out of coaxial cable.
And this was
designed for one-way transmission primarily. They have to change that implementation. They have to use what's called hybrid fiber coax, which means fiber out to the neighborhood anyway, and then a device which the fiber ends on, and then it splits the information out on coax. That allows them to do two-way communication. And we're talking in the anywhere from 1 to 10 megabits per second worth of data transfer.
The Internet Protocol, you lobbied hard for that.
And that was the principal element that underlies all of the Internet. In fact, the Internet Protocol is a basic kind of electronic postcard-like protocol. It behaves just like postcards, but about 100 million times faster. It's so critical to the internet design that I have a t-shirt that says IP on everything. And it just means that internet protocol needs to run on, and does run on, all kinds of communications substructures, whether it's wireless, telephone, coaxial cable, or any other kinds of communication medium. IP can run on top of it and support the rest of the internet.
Who's the smartest?
I'm visiting. He hopes the internet will go somewhere other than to Bill Gates' bottom line. He's betting it will soon consign the PC itself to the trash can and do the same to Microsoft.
Bob Cringer, this is Larry Ellison.
Larry Ellison is the boss of Oracle, a booming business that sells software to companies who share information among hundreds of users.
This is my favorite fish. It's Halloween fish.
In Atherton, the most exclusive suburb in Silicon Valley, the bachelor billionaire has built himself a $10 million samurai mansion. Naturally.
I want to have a large pond, about 5 acres of water, surrounded by several little buildings, like a village.
Oh, with his ceremonial car, Larry contemplates the coming battle with Microsoft.
People make a terrible mistake of thinking IBM is the present and Microsoft is the future. I think IBM is the past and Microsoft is the present, and the future has not happened, so we don't know what company, what technology is going to be dominant. These are temple guardians from the Kamakura period, and they, you know, you'd have one on either side of your door, and the job was to scare employees of Microsoft away and keep them from entering the temple. We shouldn't spend all of our time wringing our hands about, you know, Microsoft, you know, Microsoft world domination. That there's still room left for innovation. There's going to be change, and Microsoft's future is not assured.
Showed me really three things, but I was so blinded by the first one that I didn't even really see the other two. One of the things they showed me was object-oriented programming. They showed me that, but I didn't even see that. The other one they showed me was really a networked computer system. They had over 100 Alto computers, all networked, using email, etc., etc. I didn't even see that. I was so blinded by the first thing they showed me, which was the graphical user interface. I thought it was the best thing I'd ever seen in my life. Now, remember, it was very flawed. What we saw was incomplete. They'd done a bunch of things wrong, but we didn't know that at the time. It's still, though, they had the germ of the idea was there, and they'd done it very well. And within, you know, 10 minutes, it was obvious to me that all computers would work like this someday.
Not for me. How about your wife and son? How do you think they'll take to it?
They'll love it.
Right. Well, before I turn you over to Bill, there's one other thing I think we should talk about. I don't want to sound melodramatic, but it's something that's been known to give a few people second thoughts about the job.
I'm intrigued.
I don't suppose they told you anything in Denver about the tragedy we had up here during the winter of 1970?
I don't believe they did.
Well, my predecessor in this job hired a man named Charles Grady as the winter caretaker. And he came up here with his wife and two little girls, I think about 8 and 10. And he had a good employment record, good references. And from what I've been told, I mean, he seemed like a completely normal individual. But at some point during the winter, he must have suffered some kind of a complete mental breakdown. He ran amok and killed his family with an axe. Stacked them neatly in one of the rooms of the West Wing, and then he put both barrels of a shotgun in his mouth. Police, I thought that it was what the old-timers used to call cabin fever. Kind of claustrophobic reaction which can occur when people are shut in together over long periods of time.
Wow. That is quite a story.
Yeah, it is. Oh, it's still hard for me to believe it actually happened here.